We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, you know, the entire Bible is God's Word, and there are so many chapters and portions of Scripture that are so near and dear to every heart. But the book of Romans is like a mountain peak almost that stands out, you know, prominently. And then even of the 16 chapters of the book of Romans, there are several chapters and passages that are like the Mount Everest of Bible verses, one of which is Romans 1:8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Think about those glorious words, that wonderful promise, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, we welcome you to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, along with Bert Harper. You are listening to the American Family Radio Network, and we're so thankful that you are. And Bert, it's always great to begin another week of Exploring the Word, and my goodness, how near and dear the words of Romans 8 are to the church throughout the ages. I'm just thrilled that we can be in this part of God's Word, aren't you?
I am as well. Again, when you hear that phrase that he got in Habakkuk, we're justified by faith. And then this in chapter 8, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Alex, I think you described it exactly right. You're in the areas of the mountains, but then you have these highest peaks right here in the middle. It is. And chapter 8, I look at my Bible and I've got it highlighted, I've got it underlined, I've got asterisks, I've got blue lines, I've got red lines, I've got red parentheses. It's so marked up because there's so much richness here that I think it's just difficult for us to glean all that is here. But I got a feeling, I thought about this earlier, you know, sometimes I say, well, let's move on. But I would say I wouldn't doubt us putting 4 days in on Romans 8. It is that rich. Now, I don't know we will or not, but it is that rich and that full. Well, Alex, one more thing I want to do before we go any further, because I love praise. We get so much bad news today, you know, constantly. President Trump, again, another assassination attempt. We understand that. But I want to tell you something good that happened over the weekend. You may have heard it. There was a pastor who was imprisoned in China for nearly 20 years. His name was David Lin. He had been there, and in 2006, he was detained, and this Sunday he was released. He was detained on bogus charges and everything. He had been ministering there and going, but because of his support of the underground church, that the communist country could not, you know, they could not take it, they arrested him, but he was released, and we are praising God for that. Alex, I'm just thankful that I had heard of this, and I know we had not mentioned it in prayer, but privately I had seen it, and every time I'd see it, I'd pray. Well, this Sunday, those prayers were answered, and he's 68 years old. He was approximately 48 or 49 when he was taken, you know, captive and detained. Now, nearly 20 years later, he is set free.
My word. That is good news. We give God the glory for that. And, you know, folks, as we pray, there's so much to pray about. But we often do talk about the persecuted church around the world and even the spiritual challenges here in America. Good news, God is working. In that spirit, let me give a report and a big, sincere thank you to the people of Richmond and Central and Northern Virginia. Bert, I was Angie and I went to Virginia. And I spoke at a men's function Friday morning. We've got a friend up there, Rocky Marin, and he's got an incredible ministry called Man Church. And in about six or seven locations around Richmond, early, like on Friday mornings, they'll have men's breakfasts. And many, many men have been won to Christ. And it's always a privilege to speak at Man Church. And then we did a biblical worldview Saturday for half a day at a wonderful church called Berea Baptist Church. Mark Jenkins and the youth pastor is named Kerry, and they're just phenomenal. Then we did a youth thing Saturday night. Well, yesterday morning, I had the privilege of speaking outdoors at Hanover Farms. This is in Richmond. There's a big outdoor venue, and hundreds of people were there. Now, Bert, I've got to tell you, I kid you not, 50 times at least. And Angie and I, we stood in line, and even after the service for an hour and a half, we shook hands with people that have come and wanted to meet. But 50 times at least, people came up to me and they said, "Where's Bert? Why didn't you bring Bert with you as well?" And so there's a lot of love for AFA and AFR. People came from Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. We led people to Christ. I give God the glory. Teenagers came forward. I challenged the teenagers to pray for their schools and to stand bold and stand strong for Christ. Hundreds of people were there. And I just want to say a big thanks to Bradford Howard. He's a listener and a helper. And just we had a spectacular weekend in the greater Richmond area.
Amen, Alex. That is some of our strongest areas as we chat with the people who know where, you know, we respond from. Richmond is one of our strongest areas, and I know they up there enjoyed that. I'm glad you got to go. Let me give a shout out as well. I was at a men's conference breakfast a Saturday morning up in Trenton, Tennessee at Salem Baptist Church. Joel Pig is the pastor, but it was organized by a man called Bob Moore, and he got it together with the men from different churches coming, and I was able to share with them living godly in a dark time, and that's exactly what we need to do. And so I give a shout out to Salem Baptist Church there in Trenton, and that whole association, Gibson Baptist Association, as many churches came together, and I was able to meet with them. And Alex, same thing. They said, "Tell Alex hello." And I had a lot of folks talking about listening to AFR, especially to exploring the Word. So we thank God for that opportunity that we have, don't we?
We do. We do. Hey, I got to tell you something. And for those watching online, we have the video stream online. I don't know if you can see this, but it's my dad's Bible. And there's a lot of underlining. There's a lot of marks. And here in Romans 8, I'm going to hold this up too, of people. We had a question some months ago, Bert. Somebody called in and asked, "Is it okay to write in my Bible?" And I think it is. I think to underline and make notes, and I've got a couple of Bibles that I've gotten marked up over the last 30 years, and I do think it's good to underline things or even to highlight things. And it just so happens the Bible I picked up today was one that had belonged to my dad. He's in heaven now. But Romans 8 is really, really marked up and underlined, and I'm just giving God the praise that apparently my dad was really into Romans chapter 8, Bert.
Well, there's reason for that. I want to just real quickly, I know we get started, but talking about your dad's Bible, after my dad died, he had some Bibles, but they gave me the one that he was using last. Right in the beginning of it, he had How to Be Saved. He had those written down so he could share them. But there in the next page, it says, "I will offer unto the Lord nothing that anything that costs me nothing, I'll not offer it to him." And I thought about that. What a great heritage we have. Alex and I are standing on the shoulders of giants spiritually. but because of our homes, we thank God for that, our mothers and our two mothers, our two dads. And I thank God for that, Alex, and we want to continue that. We don't want it to stop. We want it to hand off to the next generation, and that's part of what Exploring the Word does. We have young people who are listening to us. They may be in the back seat. We had someone recently, they emailed us. They'd been listening. They're 20 years old, and they were asking questions, you know. So we praise God for that. So let's dig in to Romans 8, because I want to tell you, if you'll nail Romans 8 down, you'll find out what we have in Christ. Matter of fact, in these 39 verses, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 19 times. If you wonder what the chapter 8's about, it's about the Spirit life. What the law could not do, the Holy Spirit has done through the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. So, Alex, let me read verses 1 through 4, and then you do the commenting, and I'll comment as well. But it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Hallelujah. Underline verse 2. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." But listen, "that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh," but list this next line, "but according to the Spirit." Alex, hallelujah.
Amen, amen. You know, the word law there refers to the fact that you are under a law. Now, we've talked about, you know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's passed from death unto life. Maybe you've heard sermon illustrations where somebody would say it's like changing lanes on the highway. You're in a different lane. Well, when you come to Jesus, Lord, come into my life, save me, you are under a different set of laws, dynamics, boundaries, parameters. You're in a different existence, really. Verse 2, "the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." Now, here's the thing. What do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. Because we have a sinful nature, and then we do sinful things. I mean, you're on the road to condemnation if you don't have Jesus. And it doesn't matter. You could be the law of sin and death. You might be the greatest guy in the neighborhood, a moral citizen, a punctual employee. But if you don't have Jesus, you're in this realm, this law, this category of sin and death. But when you come to Jesus, the Bible has so much to say: born again, redeemed, converted, washed clean, washed in the blood, and indwelt with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. And that's a phrase that we could talk a lot about. If you're baptized into Christ, you are possessed of and indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. And so, Bert, life in the Spirit, that's really the theme of Romans chapter 8, isn't it? That we're living, we walk with a different priority. We walk with a different set of boundaries and parameters, and life in the Spirit is true life. I mean, anything outside of salvation, that's not life at all, really.
It is not. And notice that phrase in verse 2, "made me free from the law of sin and death." Freedom. It is free in Christ Jesus. Not free to do what I want, but free to do what I ought to do in following Christ. And
Amen.
It repeats that in verse 4, "who do not walk according to the flesh," to our nature, "but according to the Spirit." Why can we have victory in our life? Because of the indwelling Holy Spirit that comes into our life. As you said, at the baptism, the spiritual baptism of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Well, we're going to continue here in Romans 8. Don't you go away.
If ending babies' lives in their mother's wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. In a shocking stance, the vice president nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chances at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax-deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Desperate place, Father, I know you can bear the weight, Father, take me in your arms as I speak your name.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, and I know there's several of you in a desperate place. Matter of fact, we just got here at wordatalfr.net a prayer for a man who's wife is filing for divorce after years and years of marriage. And if you're in that desperate place, that's what some of the things that Exploring the Word does. We believe in prayer. And many times we'll break through our normal and pray. And now tomorrow is Tuesday, and we're going to pray tomorrow specifically for a lot of things. But let's pray for one another, for especially for those who are in a desperate place and they need Christ Jesus. Alex, here we are in Romans 8:3. Now listen to this. I know I've read it, but you could read these again and again and never get tired. Listen to this. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. Now how did he do it? By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, not in sinful flesh, but the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. What the law could not do, God did through Christ Jesus, and then bringing the Holy Spirit into our lives to give us victory in this life. Alex, every verse, seriously, every verse in Romans 8, there's nearly a message in each verse. You know what I mean?
Well, there is, and, you know, the gospel is so unique. I want to read Romans 8. I don't want to neglect the scripture itself. But, you know, religion is all about do's and don'ts. And, I mean, they estimate something like 24,000 religions in the world. And they all, whether it be Islam or even Eastern religions like Hinduism and karma, I mean, it's always good works. Well, maybe I've done more good than bad. Christianity is so different. It is so unique. It's not about what you can do, some meritorious effort, because we have no righteousness of our own, but it's all about what Christ did, the incarnation. God took on a human body, the atonement. Jesus paid the full measure of wrath that we deserved on Calvary's cross. And the righteousness of God was upheld, the mercy of God was demonstrated. But we have to open our heart and believe, and then Christ's righteousness is accredited to us. And like it says in Romans 8, for what the law could not do, in other words, works-based righteousness doesn't get it. It was weak through the flesh, but God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not Jesus was fully human, but not fallen human, and he was fully God. Bert, I'm sure you've heard it said, like in the Creed of Athanasius, you know, as much God as if he were not man, as much man as if he were not God, but two natures in one person, Jesus, the God-man. Bert, it's just utterly unique. I mean, in all of the world's belief systems, there is nothing like the profound reality of Christianity.
There's no one like Jesus. Absolutely no one, never has been, never will be. It is Jesus and Jesus alone who could bear the cross and have victory over sin and death. You were talking about those thousands of religions. I don't know who it was. You're the guy that remembers the quotes and the person who said it. Most of the time, if I remember the quotes, I'll have to remember. Now, where did that come from? But they said there's basically two religions, false religion and Christianity. You can put all the others in the same category, Alex, and you did it, works. In other words, what you can do in Christianity is what Christ has done. And what did you do with Jesus? That's the whole idea. And here it is. The law could not do it. It was weak. No one could do that. But in Christ Jesus, we have the idea, the condemnation of sin in the flesh. Now go back to chapter 8, verse 1. There's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Our sin was condemned, okay? Our sin was condemned. But Christ Jesus, who became that sacrifice, paid the price. And now for those who put their faith in Christ and Christ alone, there's no condemnation in those in Christ Jesus. Alex, again, those words condemnation, it means looked at and judged bad. You're condemned. Without Christ, you are condemned. But come into Christ, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That is the promise we have. Now, here is what it says. We need to live like it. Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We have been set apart. We need to act like it, don't we?
Amen. Well, and you know, verse 4 is very interesting because it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And now, if we said, hey, do you know what? In my life, I can fulfill the law of God. Initially, we'd say, well, no, we can't, and that's true. But let's read the whole verse. This is amazing. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, in Jesus, that's why one day every born-again believer can hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord, my child, in the Spirit of God, indwelt by the Spirit. And by the way, salvation, we say it's all through Jesus, and that's true. It's also all through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God draws you, makes you aware of your lostness. That's called conviction. And then we trust Jesus, conversion, regeneration, made alive by the Spirit. It's so multifaceted. But verse 5.
Alex, one more thing before you leave forward. Do you mind?
Yeah, sure.
Remember what Galatians 5:16 says? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's something beautiful about that phrase, walking in the Spirit. Over in Isaiah, it talks about, you know, mount up with wings as eagles, you know, they that wait upon the Lord. And then you run and not be weary. But the bottom line is really the crescendo. You know, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not faint. And they shall run and not faint. Walk and not faint. Run and not be weary. And walk and not faint. The walking in the Spirit. Alex, I just wanted to say that. Let's do that. Let the Holy Spirit live in your life. And you do it. How is walking done? One step at a time in the right direction. Simplified as much as you can. Trust God every day on every issue. Walk in the Spirit. Alex, go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted, but it was just good.
That is beautiful. You know, like Isaiah, you know, 40:31, like you mentioned, we soar, we fly. Galatians 5:16, we walk. And the word there, peripateo, You know, the Greek teachers, they were peripatetic. They would walk around and teach their students. Well, walking in the Spirit, it really means not only your walk, but it means your way of life, you know?
Amen. Amen.
When you become a believer, it's not only a moment of decision, as Billy Graham would say, but it's a life of discipleship, too. And it says that in Romans 8:4, we walk, in other words, our life from this point forward, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, wouldn't you like to have both of those, everlasting life and peace on earth during life's journey? Well, you can have that in Jesus. Bert, you know, I've said this many times that, you know, being a Christian is not the subtraction of all your problems, but it is the presence of God and the addition of Him even in the midst of your problems. And I want to say this, I give God the glory, but I was talking to a listener, they're probably listening right now, they were expressing how at their job there was a lot of wokeness and really just kind of this oppression, not only against Christianity, but against just reality. And this person was explaining to me yesterday, said, most days I leave work and I feel so beaten down, but I get in the car and I listen to AFR, and they said some very kind things about you and me, and they said, you and Bert have a southern accent, and I was like, really?
You wouldn't know it, would you?
Yeah, we know that. But this person said, hearing God's word on my drive home, by the time I get home, I'm lifted up, and we give God the glory. But Romans 8:6 says life and peace. I cannot promise that you're always going to be out of trouble. In fact, the Bible says in this world you will have tribulation and troubles. But I want to tell you, when you've got Jesus, you have life and peace, even in the midst of life's storms. That's available to anyone and everyone, isn't it, Bert?
It really is. And we do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He will indwell you, and you're going to do great things. He's going to bring peace into your life in the midst of the storm. I just, one of the greatest miracles in my life that I've seen from the Word of God is the one that Jesus calmed in the storm. In the middle of the storm, when it was coming down on them, He spoke peace to them. And all of a sudden, there was peace. And they said, who is this that even the wind and the waters obey Him? He is God. He's the one who speaks, and He can speak life and peace into your life in the midst of difficulty. And Alex, we're going to stop and pray right now, because I just can sense there's a lot of people who right now are, that song that introduced this segment, they're in a desperate place, and they need the peace that God brings into their life. Father, I pray right now for those who are listening. I understand how difficult life can be, and it is. And there's some, the marriages are breaking up. Their jobs are, they're putting pressure on them concerning wokeness in their job. Others are going through difficulty in the education. Others have lost their job, and they're wondering where, God, have you got something for me? And so, Father, I know there's some who have children that are in rebellion. They're going a different way than what you wanted them to go as parents. So, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that Jesus shed there on that cross, Father, we ask that you would work in their lives to bring peace to them, but also on those issues that they're working, let them know while God's working in their lives, God is also working in the lives of those that they're praying for. Our God is a great God, and we need to know that. And Father, we trust you. We ask you to work in their lives. And Father, may you speak peace and life even in this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Romans 8, and Bert, I'm so glad you did pray for that. And we pray that God's peace and God's comfort are very real to everyone listening. But it goes on, and verse 7 says, because the carnal mind, in other words, the unregenerate mind, the mind of the flesh, the person led by the sin nature, the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. See, you're never going to be right with God in the flesh, and you're never going to really have this renewed mind and this transcendent peace apart from Jesus. It can't be. So, verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Bert, I've talked to a lot of people that they're kind of holding out for a plan B, you know. I mean, I've had people say to me, I know the Bible says there's no way but Jesus, but you know what, Alex, I'm a good person, and I know so-and-so, they're not a Christian, but they're a good person. If there is a heaven, certainly their good life ought to count for something. I've had people tell me that, but I read Romans 8:8, and it says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Bert, I'm reading this to mean that if you want to be right with God, you have to have Jesus Christ.
There is no other way. Jesus made it plain. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father but by or through me. Alex, again, you're the English major, but I learned what a definite article is. The one and only. The only way. God has no alternate route. God has no plan B. It is through Christ and Christ alone that there is salvation. And those who are listening today, if you've never trusted Christ, you're trusting in, well, I attend church, I give money, I even support AFA. I'm a monthly contributor. And praise you God. Do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. I want to tell you, here it is, those who are in the flesh. In other words, their natural nature, they have not been born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. Not hope so, but must be. Cannot please God. So, Alex, you're right on. Jesus is the only hope that we have. And that's one of the reasons we do Exploring the Word, isn't it?
Amen. It is. And I give God the glory that we know of many people over the last 15 years that have accepted Christ. And by the way, folks, if you have a question, you want to sometimes send in your Bible question, you can do that, word@afr.net. Now, after this break, we're going to come back and take your calls. The number, 888-589-8840. Call us with your Bible question, and we'll get to the phones right after this brief break. Stay tuned.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
An overcomer in Jesus Christ. Well, overcomers, welcome back to Exploring the Word. Hey, the number is 888-589-8840. We're going to get right to the calls in just a moment. But let me say a word about Facebook. Our most excellent producer, Brent Austin, oversees the Facebook page, and we're growing. We're over 9,400 Facebook likes, and we just want to get to 10,000. And I'm not saying that we're competitive, Bert and I, but we're competitive.
No.
And so do me a favor, if you would, folks, on Facebook, like us at just Exploring the Word. We put up things. I think Brent has already put up some pictures from our big event in Richmond yesterday. And but if you would, we just want to hit 10,000. We're 500 and some away. Like us, if you would, on Facebook. And by the way, the number, 888-589-8840. And if you ever want to email a question in, your emailed questions are always welcomed as well. And that's Word, W-O-R-D, at AFR.net. Well, Bert, are you okay if we pick up the phones?
Let's do it. Where do we go to first, Alex?
The great state of Texas. Frank in Texas, thank you for holding. And you're on the program.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bert and Alex. I appreciate you taking my call, and I really enjoy your program. My question was regarding the six-day creation. We know that God created light first, but the fourth day he created the sun, moon, and stars. And we know that our days and nights are governed by the sun and the moon, solar and lunar. And I was just curious to what the light was. If the sun was not created till the fourth day, I was just seeing what y'all thought. If y'all could maybe elaborate on that a little bit.
Okay, thank you, Frank. Alex, this is a common question that I've been asked, but let me share two or three things. I'll throw it to you. One, notice the earth contained, it was the earth and the water, but God brought the earth out of the water, and he put the boundaries on it. I love that in Job. He's the one that told the ocean it could only go so far. So you had the light, and he separated the light. So you had this light. It's just like in heaven, well, we won't need the moon and the stars or the sun. Jesus is the light. So he had that light. I think it was still 24 hours. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is, and this is in Genesis 1:14 and following, God said, let there be lights. And God brought forth not only the sun and the moon, but the other heavenly bodies. Now, it's interesting. Elsewhere, there was a verb appear, and it's a like, you know, it said that the land appeared from out of the water. The land was kind of lifted up. But there's a different verb in Genesis 14 that means made. And here's my point. God is the maker of the planets, the celestial bodies, the plants, the animals, of course, humans. God is the source of life. And I've had skeptics ask me, well, you know, how was there light prior to the creation of the sun? Because God is the light. How was there gravity and how was there life before these different celestial bodies? Almost the implication of the skeptic is that God has the days of creation out of order. Look, God is the source, not only of physical life and creation, but eternal life and redemption. And so, Bert, I think irrespective of the order of the days of creation, it all would have been created because God is the source of all reality.
He is. And again, I still understand some people, and they say, it's kind of confusing. Listen, the Bible doesn't answer every detail that we would like, but we can trust the Bible. We really can to be that God. And we have the Bible to reveal to us who God is. We worship the God of the Bible. And I believe that's one of the reasons God didn't let us keep for sure the original manuscripts, although we may have them, but we may not know exactly. Man has a tendency to worship things, you know, physical. We worship the God of the Bible, and we know him through the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We know him. Hey, listen, Alex, before we go to the next call, that number is 888-589-8840, and we have lines open. But where did we go to next, Alex?
Tennessee. Chris in Tennessee, thank you for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, man, how y'all doing? I just wanted to call in the temple, inside the temple, there was a wall that was structured. Ephesians 2:15, where I'm getting at. There was a wall that was structured that the Gentiles could not enter the court and bring death upon them if they did. And in Ephesians 2:15, is he talking about that wall of the what it says of the ordinances of commandments? Or is he talking about the Halakha law, the Jewish law? Because we know Jesus preached and teached the Mosaic law and never in Jewish history has the Moses Mosaic laws look as a yoke of bondage. So it was, is he talking about that particular wall, or is he talking about Halakha, Jewish law?
Okay. Mm. Thank you, Chris. Let me read. Now, we could read the whole chapter, but let me read at least verse 13 before you give to 14 and 15. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off, there it is, have been made near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us. That's in verse 14. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that which separated, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. This verse really helps us understand Romans, what we're talking about. Alex, there was that curtain that separated mm-hmm. them. It was divided. And so this is not only actual about that curtain, but it is also that wall, as you would say, but it's also a word picture of what Christ did in bringing all men to Christ by grace through faith. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is great, and thank you for the question. In Ephesians 2:14, and I just love Ephesians 2, you know, it says, we who were sometimes afar off have been made near by the blood of his cross. But in verse 14, it's translated the middle wall. The word really means barrier between us and God. In Jesus, the barrier, and of course the atonement on Calvary's cross, what he did on the cross removed the barrier between us and God. Now, what was that middle wall or that barrier? Bert, as the caller alluded to, yes, there was an outer court, an inner court, and the Holy of Holies. There was the curtain that was ripped from top to bottom. But Bert, it was a multi-layered barrier between us and God. Our sin, our resistance, the fallen nature of the human race, our works righteousness, just like Cain tried to bring, you know, a bloodless sacrifice, false religion, bias, blindness. I mean, that wall or that barrier between us and God, it was tragically multifaceted. Jesus removed it by dying and rising again.
Amen. This is what Jesus did. And when he said, "It is finished," he did that which was needed in order for us to come to him. What a Savior. Alex, where to next?
Okay, we're going to go to Steve in Arkansas. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. I just hopped in the pickup just a few minutes ago and caught the tail end of what you were saying about it. You had that question of how could there be light without the planets and such. And it reminded me of something I saw, I think it was a History Channel years ago, and they had found a probe, camera, robotic type thing, to go into the depths of the sea, and they found in the deepest part of the sea, and they came to a cliff, and that thing went off down in there, and they found a much, much deeper point than they had ever known was in the ocean before. And it went so deep down in there that the water was at a boiling point, extremely hot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just darker than dark, no light at all. And down there was living fish and green plants growing out of the banks of that thing. And there was oil being emitted from the bottom of it.
Mm, yeah.
And when I saw that, I said, wow, that no light, no photosynthesis, but there's green plants.
Isn't that something? You know, Bert, there's this thing called the Mariana Trench, or Mariana. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right.
Right.
But there's this trench in the western part of the Pacific Ocean that was discovered, and it's the, as far as I'm aware, I've heard it's the deepest known point on Earth, and that they think at the deepest point, the Mariana Trench is like a mile and a half deeper than the height of Mount Everest, and that the water pressure down there is so intense. I mean, I don't know that any human submarine or anything could go down there. And yet, like Steve says, there's plants, there's boiling water coming out of the crust of the earth. Do you know what? Psalm 19 says the heavens and earth declare the glory of God, the power of God. And I mean, the heavens are high, the ocean is deep, and the Creator who made it is bigger and stronger still.
Amen. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's just inhuman. But the heavens declare the glory of God. And this is it. What we're talking about is the glory. It's called the Shekinah glory, and it is light, the Shekinah glory that was following them during the ark as it was the tabernacle was being brought in. So, Alex, Jesus is the light of the world, and you remember the burning bush? It was not consumed. Light, you know, this is the whole idea. God is the light, and he brings it about. Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Amen. Mark in Arkansas, and I'll be in Arkansas really soon. I'll tell you about that. But Mark, thanks for holding, and welcome to the program.
Fantastic. Well, if anyone thinks that we got the order of the creation out, or some of the information is inaccurate, just think. God told Adam, Adam told Lament, and he told Noah his son, and he brought it straight through the flood. So all that godly wisdom and the whole story of creation God told, and it went through two sets of ears and came through the flood. So I think it's pretty accurate.
Amen, Mark.
Well said.
It is. It is. We can depend upon it, and I praise God. Thank you, brother. That's a great comment. Got another caller, Alex, or you got something to say? Go ahead.
We do. Well, you know, I like what Ken Ham said, our friend Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis, and this is great logic, but Ken Ham said the only eyewitness that was present at the creation moment was Almighty God. So let's believe what Almighty God says about creation, not Charles Darwin, not the skeptics, but in the creation accounts of Genesis 1 and 2, you know, we've got the word of the eyewitness that was there to see it, and we also know initiate it, but God himself. Let's believe what God says.
Amen.
Matthew in Mississippi. Matthew, welcome to Exploring the Word.
How y'all doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling.
My question is, I know Jesus forgives, but I want to know about forgiving yourself for stuff that you've done in the past and things like that.
Amen.
You know, I know I'm forgiven by his grace and everything. But just some things I just don't feel like I could forgive myself for, you know.
Okay, Matthew, let me share this. And I'll do it real quickly, Alex, and you take it away. In Mark chapter 2, there was that man who had four friends that let that man down, a paralytic, into Jesus' presence. And Jesus saw their faith, and he forgave that man of his sin. The people, Pharisees that were watching, said this, "Who can forgive sin but God?" Now, Jesus did not deny that, but what he did, he told that man that he could be healed in order to let them see that he was God and he could forgive sin. Let me say this, Matthew. You receive God's forgiveness and you walk in that. Walk in God's forgiveness. And understand, if he has forgiven you, you are free indeed. And yes, you'll regret. There's a difference in regret and not receiving forgiveness. You'll live in the regret. I understand that. But Alex, the forgiveness is real when God does it, isn't it?
Yeah, and let me just say this. Look, we've all done things that we wish we hadn't have done, or maybe we've said things that we'd give anything if we could take back some hurtful word or some, you know, bad decision. But here's the thing. Satan wants you to be in turmoil on the inside. And sometimes maybe you have to pray and say, Lord, help me forgive myself. And then I want to say this, and maybe somebody listening needs to hear this. Give yourself permission to be at peace on the inside. Look, Beating yourself up. And Bert, I understand owning and being responsible. I get that. Look, just beating yourself up inside forever, that's not productive at all. You are free in Christ. You're complete in Christ. And you can have joy in Jesus. And the devil doesn't want you to, but you can. Pray that God will work those things into your heart and into your outlook.
Receive what God has already done. Make sure you've trusted Christ. Make sure you ask Him, Lord, I turn away from my sin. I turn to You, and I'm asking You to forgive me. Walk in His forgiveness. He who is free indeed. Alex, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be in chapter 8, verse 9. It doesn't let up. There's even more blessings waiting on us as we go through Romans chapter 8.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.